Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm KC.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
Get back. Don't you do it. That's a Fuji dog right there. We are sitting outside, actually. And we're about to do a round table with one of our friends, our newfound friends, Mr. Daniel Holder from the Hunt, Fish, Eat podcast. And so we're just going to start into the conversation pretty quick here. But just wanted to run you guys through the fact that we just released a crappie fishing video. And this isn't just a hype session. This isn't just a, you know, ripping lips, you know, highlight. This is a how-to fish for crappie in the pre-spawn, especially if you got a 2021 Skeeter and you got a live scope. And
when you say isn't just, that implies that there is quite a bit of that in the video.
Yeah, there's some ripping, man. I don't know how many we took home, but I bet we had, if you count the bites that Hunter missed, we probably had a few thousand bites. No, yeah. we probably had about 20, 25 bites. I think we ended up like 15 before you guys went back out. But we did a couple hours on the lake and saw how effective live scoping can be, especially when you're talking about pre-spawn fish in the 8 to 10, 11 foot depth. And it was a lot of fun, and they caught big ones, man.
Yeah. It was pretty cool to just be out there. It's my first time getting to, you know, experience live scope or whatever. It's not as guaranteed as like what you think it'd be, but it's real cool.
Yeah.
It's not video game-esque, I don't feel like, as much as what I thought it was going to be either. So it was a lot of fun. The amount of time I spent on the lake left me sick, literally. So that's why y'all hear my voice being real weird. But we had a lot of fun, and then it was great to just get to hang out with Daniel, do some fishing with him, and he made us a delicious elk steak meal that night.
Oregano.
Yeah.
It's the key ingredient, man.
Yeah. That's not as I like that food, but I don't think I'm like going to put oregano on all my steaks from now on.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I liked it. I'm not going to put it on every steak either, but I mean, I think I'm going to try it every
once in a while. I'm still a salt, pepper, butter, maybe some garlic type guy. It's just kind of the way I roll. But it was delicious either way, and my wife liked it, which made a big difference. Because I live for her, of course. So, whatever makes her happy.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you wanted her to hear that or something.
Right. It's almost like she's over there 15 yards away.
Do you think
she's
going to listen to this podcast?
No, but I think she listened. She already actually heard the live version. Her and Hunter's wife were in there talking smack about us the whole time while we were saying dumb things on the podcast.
Yeah. I actually went, because I could see them, you know, they were rolling when I was talking. They loved my comedy mainly.
That's right. So, yeah. Yeah. Tyler's comments in particular, they were laughing at.
They thought hilarious.
So, if y'all want to laugh too and just enjoy a good conversation, let's get into that with Daniel and Hunter.
Dunter.
I'm Tyler Jones from the Element Podcast.
I am Casey Sisk.
Sisk.
No, I wish. If so, I'd be shooting giant bucks in South Texas. What?
You changed your name when you got married?
Anyways, I'm Casey Smith from the Element Wild, which is our social media channels.
Okay.
I'm Daniel Holder with Hunt Fish Eat Podcast.
And yours truly, Hunter the Hunter.
With we?
No, he knows.
With we?
Everybody knows, man. He's
HTH.
He's on a first name basis. I saw a commercial today with Serena Williams. She said, you know you've made it when people know you by your first name. Or by one name or something like that.
Yeah.
So
Tyler the Tribe.
HTH.
That's right.
HTH.
HTH.
We're sitting around dinner table right now. Hunter is trying not to breathe and
eat sausages.
We got these sausages right in front of us. If you watch some of the pig hunt videos, you know that the Cody Brown is a man for men. He's the man's man.
Yes, he is. Yep.
And he did some pineapple
bacon and jalapeno and cheese. And there's a great discrepancy in the heat in some of these jalapeno and cheese sausages.
Man. For sure.
Yeah. Mr. Kansas City, you don't have a lot of spice to your barbecue up there. So.
No, we have a lot of sweet, man.
Yeah.
We got,
so. Yeah. So I'm sure that was a kick. I thought it was pretty good. Like, it was definitely spicy for me, too.
Yeah. It was just hot.
For a Texan, I'm not like a. I'm a medium, like, middle-of-the-road spicy guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not the guy who's like, give me that habanero, you know. Mm-hmm. But I like a good burn with a good flavor.
That's me, too, man. I think when you get food that's like that, too, you know it's good food. Because if it's consistent, then it's being made by, like, General Mills or somebody, you know. It's like, ooh.
Cody said he tried a new casing on these, and he wasn't a big fan of it. Personally, I didn't even.
I thought it was really good. It was good smoke flavor too to them, and especially for like homemade sausages, those were really, really good.
Yeah,
but this is, you know, like the sideshow act to the supper that we just had.
Yeah,
Daniel brought down some elk tenderloin, made some wild game stock polenta, and some sautéed Brussels sprouts in bacon grease.
Yes, sir.
And we just ate. I think I ate 7 serving sizes for a normal adult human of supper. So
there's a lot of food.
Made my wife like steak. So
she went back for seconds, man.
I know, man.
I was very very flattered by that.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
4 years ago, she wasn't eating much.
She's a vegan,
steak.
Right?
Yeah, she's vegan and now. Okay.
We would eat it. We'd eat the RV, and it had to be ground meat only on the elk.
Mm.
But now, with how delicious your elk was. Of course, Tyler and I are like, we got to go elk hunting this year and kill one because it's been too long.
Yep.
But I don't know. It was a delicious meal. So thank you, man. Did you come by the Cooking Honest, like just growing up with it, or how did you like, you know, get into the culinary scene?
So I like to eat food.
Yeah.
And so I've always liked to eat.
Couldn't tell at all.
Yep. So what's interesting is my dad is a chemist. You know, he's a doctorate in chemistry, and he liked to cook growing up.
Cooking is?
It's chemistry.
Yeah.
Chemistry,
yeah.
Right?
It's so, denaturization.
Yep. Having all that different stuff. So I learned from him. My mom's not much of a cook. Like Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving, my dad does all the cooking. So I just kind of picked it up from him. I really enjoyed it. You know, I like eating good food. And, you know, like I was telling you earlier, so I process all my own game. And so to me, that's one big thing about hunting, being able to, you know, get that stuff. And, I really love that aspect of hunting, and just one of my favorite things is making food for people that I like, you know, and friends and family. And too bad I had to cook for you guys tonight too.
Yeah, he wasn't going to cook until Tyler said he was coming over. So he's like, okay, I'll cook fine.
Yeah, Tyler's gonna eat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But
even though I left us high and dry in the boat with Pop all day, you know, didn't come join us.
He kept us 30 more minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, 30 minutes. So.
Well, last time I talked to you, it seemed like you had your hands full of Pop, and I was like, I don't think we need another person in the boat. Probably.
I thought you were gonna give him a dad. Honestly. Yeah, y'all would have had a good time.
You think?
Yeah, Butch caught a couple bass. Yeah.
Old Bassmaster Butch.
Yeah, he's out there with Mo. We had boat problems. So here's the deal, guys. We met Daniel back at the hog hunt. Him and Hunter, of course, got super well acquainted on a tundra expedition.
Hunter saved my life.
Did he?
Yep.
I thought it was the dog that y'all warmed up with.
That helped too.
Yeah.
But before
oatmeal cream pies.
That one, yes, yeah, right.
Those were the
frozen
savers.
Frozen oatmeal cream pies.
I think I'm lost here. What's going on?
You remember they went back to the truck early whenever we were making the loop.
So do you remember when we were crossing that creek?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't have muck boots, right? And so I walked down with Cody Brown.
Yeah.
Talked to him.
Yeah.
So we get back and it's just me, Hunter, and Cody are across the creek now, right? And so we start, well, let's go walk where everybody else is. And I start realizing it's getting real thick. And so I can't see Cody anymore, and I'm like, I see Hunter. And I didn't know Hunter's name at this point. I'd just seen him that morning. But I'm like, you know what? Like, I didn't mark the truck. I didn't do anything. So I'm like, I should probably stay near somebody that knows what they're doing. So I get kind of close to Hunter. And we both
Oh, yes. You heard that. You heard that. That's my natural appearance.
You look like you know what you're doing.
Didn't know anything about
it. He was very confident.
I look like it.
He was very confident.
I look like it. Don't take it for granted.
So I get close to him.
Elmer Fudd's also a confident guy. Okay?
So. It's the Bill Dance vibes you put off. That's what it was.
You got to get that Tennessee hat, man. You would embody it. But we
somebody send one.
That's right. We got to a fence, and I was like, Cody, you at this fence? No, Cody. Me and her are like, do you know where Cody's? No. Just two of us. So I'm like, I asked what your name was, I think. And then you're like, we're going to go this way. You're very confident about where we're going. And you're like, we should hit the road here pretty soon. And we hit the lake, which is the opposite direction of where we thought we were going. So he checks his on X, and he's like, man, it's telling me this.
Appearances are not always what they
That's right. We start moving, and the thing's not moving on the on X, right?
Mm.
Yep, and so we...
got that part for sure.
That's right.
Lost. I didn't have the map downloaded.
Yeah. Offline.
I was... Had no service, so
it's all right.
It's because of that Rex Hunter discrepancy we had.
Yep.
It was, and that we had a very yes. It was, the account didn't know who was That's fingering it.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was overcast, like heavy clouds. So no idea.
Chips
didn't
work.
Satellite
chips didn't work. Couldn't see the stars either.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know. No wind, so we couldn't know what.
That's
you
right.
Know,
try to find some moss, you know, for the north side of the tree.
Yep. Yeah.
Not enough moisture.
So
what was interesting about this whole thing that morning was that like about 40% of the people involved in this thing didn't know each other's names.
Yeah.
So we would be like, I would like be joined up with like KC and Eric or whatever, and I'd be like. And then, like, Sam and John would come in, and I'd be like, man, I hadn't seen Daniel in a while or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, he's right there. And they'd be like, you know, I'd be like, we'd find out, like, a couple minutes later that they were talking about Chris Webb or something like that, you know. And it's like, these guys have no clue who anybody is.
We got in touch with you, Tyler, and you're talking to Hunter, and you're like, man, tell all those guys I'm sorry that we got separated. Hunter's like, it's just me. And Daniel's like, wait. Chris and Cody aren't with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know where they were.
I have no clue where Chris Webb ended up. Did you fall in the creek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
50% of the state.
We were the creek buddies for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we met up, or I called you. I was like, hey, where y'all at? And you're like, you know, I told you where we were at. And I was like, my map's not working. And you let me know. And you said, well, we're going to be passing you in a couple of minutes. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll be whistling. You know how we do the whistle?
Yeah.
So anyways,
what's it sound like?
You know.
Yeah, do a Bob White whistle,
pretty
man.
Good.
So
y'all have that old man like whistle lip thing going
here
on. I don't know how to do that.
Whistling I can whistle
good like a
into
voice,
the wilderness,
though.
And somebody whistles back, same whistle.
Yeah,
well, and I'm like,
it actually was Bob White.
I was like, okay, that's Tyler right there. I'm like, we're good to go, and it was like 20 yards away, like it was close. I'm like,
I think it was Chris.
Well, it gets better.
I heard the whistle too, dude. I'm telling you.
And but then I was like, okay, you know, I was yelling. I was like, hey, Tyler, you know, nobody answered. And then I'm like, oh, where'd you go? Like yelling now, like where are you?
I did that
then,
whistle in the woods,
and nobody.
And you know what I got back? Can't whistle. That's what Sam Hogan did to me.
Can't whistle.
Can't whistle.
Well, what's crazy is like, so we do this whistle, and we're like, we hear the whistle, so we're standing there waiting. And about 5 minutes goes by, and you're like, and I go, that was a whistle, right? That wasn't like, we didn't like make that up. Yeah, it's a pretty positive whistle. And so we call you guys, drop our pins, and we're like wildly in different places. So what Hunter and I figured out was it was most likely a Bigfoot that
that's
whistled
right.
back at us. Yeah, so that's what we're thinking happened. But
are you thinking that there should be a season in Texas for Bigfoots, or is it still we working on that population?
Well, you
density?
Know, Oklahoma just opened the season earlier this year, and so I don't see why Texas shouldn't follow, maybe in Kansas.
They've got to be migrating up to Kansas and down to Texas.
Does that have to do with the expansion of the natives' lands up there? Is that why they
opened? I think so. You know, and habitat, too. You know, they've gotten some habitat loss in the Panhandle, and so they've been moving out. You know,
oh, a big fire from a couple years ago.
Yeah, I got you. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Cornering. It
pressuring them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm choking over here.
I'm choking.
Used to, he's good at it now. He's good at not doing it. But used to, man, we'd
I'm
be talking.
Right, Hunter, I can't help it.
We'd be talking, or I'd be talking, and I'd have, you know, take a second to get the words out. Yeah. And he would just do this little, like, puppy dog, like a little turn of the head, you know. And I at that point, I can't talk at all. You know, it's over. It's
sorry,
over.
I don't try to be critical. I just am. So. But we all got to know each other really well on that hog hunt. If y'all haven't watched that YouTube video, we'll put a link below. It's pretty fun. Shot some pigs with some CZ shotguns that Daniel brought to let us use. It's actually my first time using a semi-auto, really, to shoot animals and much. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, check that out. And somehow or another, you and Hunter, you know, you ended up back at Brian's truck.
Yep.
And y'all had like hours of conversation.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, y'all
long walks, man.
Y'all discussed long walks on the beach.
Well, we killed pigs, so yeah, you know, it took
we had to do a lot of butchering. But somehow or another, y'all got to talking about the Sasquatch thing a little bit, right? And well, Hunter has had his hand in some Sasquatch management, or skunk ape, should I say. I don't know really, you know, where Big the foot, cultural lines
Yeti.
Blur there.
I feel like Bigfoot's like, it's, you know, redneck, sometimes people feel that as an offensive thing a little bit. Sometimes,
pejorative.
Like, if you're a redneck and you call people rednecks, it ain't no big deal. But if you're, like, from the city and you say, I feel like Bigfoot's the same thing. It's
if
like,
you're a
if
Bigfoot,
you're not from Bigfoot country and you say Bigfoot, it's kind of like, are you being derogatory here, you know?
Is it?
Or if you're a Bigfoot, only other big, you know, Bigfoots can call you a skunk ape.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like
you don't you don't want to just be throwing that around.
No, you don't say that word.
So you're speaking in the same positive terms here that like Bigfoot experts speak in, where they know exactly what they're doing.
I think
all
it's because you have some experience.
I have had some with Bigfoot habitat management.
Not, you do management for
I
them?
Do not. I do not. We get a lot of requests for management.
A lot?
You know, fair. More than, you know, I ever expect.
More than one?
So how often do you get... Versus duck hunt emails. How, like, people who are like, hey, do this to get more ducks.
I don't know. That's probably a...
Is it classified?
Yeah.
So you probably can't tell us.
But that's probably like a 10 to 2.
Really?
No way. Like
20%?
20% or Bigfoot. Is it the same person on the Bigfoot? Or multiple people, right?
No, we get multiple.
Is it a Bigfoot society of people? Or are these vigilantes?
If it's a society, then there's some burner accounts. You know, trying to feel my way through and figure out what's what.
You were saying.
Well, what I particularly liked about this was, because I kind of made a joke about Bigfoot, and you quickly corrected me, explained that I was incorrect. And... And these people that are approaching
you. I didn't want
to
get back to Bigfoot that he was being incorrect about them.
For sure. Well, what I liked a lot about it was that these people aren't mad at you because you guys don't believe in Bigfoot. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but they're upset because you guys aren't managing proper habitat for Bigfoot.
Yes. That's what it comes down to.
Is it a problem with, like, tree density?
Are they telling you how to manage it, or are they just saying you're not doing it right? Or you need to be doing more?
They are telling us we're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a plan?
They don't have a plan, but they also don't know what is right.
I wish they would give you suggestions.
There's so many parameters. It's just basically all they can tell us is that we're doing it wrong.
Sounds like my granddad.
I know.
It's like any time.
It sounds like you're holding a flashlight for your stepdad. You know, you ain't doing it right no matter what you do.
See, that's weird to me. Like, how do you?
Well, from what I understand, the hunting grounds are like the bottoms, correct? And their bedding area is more grasslands?
Well, yes. In our particular region, that is what they have
sorry,
found.
That's correct. I should preface that.
In the region of East Texas, there is
how many habitat regions are there for Bigfeets?
Ooh. I don't know.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
But
is it Bigfoot or big feet?
It depends on if plural? You're. Yeah,
we were exactly. told by the cryptozoologist that we talked to that it could be either one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's fluid.
It was.
It's good to fluid. Know.
It's like dove and doves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it depends on probably if you're like a grouper or a separator or whatever they call it, right? So, mm-hmm. like, some people say there's 27 subspecies of whitetail. Some people say there's six. Some people say there's just one whitetail, right? Mm-hmm. So probably depends on which mm-hmm. crypto you're talking to about how they feel about the feet.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah. their clans and their histories. And
do you have a burial ground in your place? Because I hear that's a pretty big deal. Like, apparently Bigfoots are – my goal is to use every plural I can. I was just
be inclusive. They,
like,
yeah.
Like Bigfeet's burial ground?
Yeah, apparently it's a big deal. Like, they're where they bury their – they're dead. It's like a big deal to them.
You'll have to give me a description. Like, is I mean, I'm certain it doesn't remember have
that
headstones.
Thing, remember that thing we found in the woods, and you and I were standing on top of that hill. We're like, what is this?
Yes.
That's a Bigfoot burial ground.
Yeah, when we were out there at Cedar Creek WMA.
Now everyone's going to go to Cedar Creek WMA.
Yeah, that's the one.
That one.
Island, Cedar Creek Island.
Cedar Creek Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, that spot. Okay.
So, do you really know anything about Bigfoot? About their habits, their habitat?
Honestly,
yeah. Like, I mean,
I know some stuff that can't be told.
I was gonna say, yeah. He can't say is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and the, I mean, it's classified.
It's kind of like UFO type
I knew
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert: they don't exist.
You know, we've had this conversation in the past,
but I can't respond that. I would can't say, respond to emails with that.
I was a pretty big believer until the trail camera world happened.
It's a good way to get a return email.
Yeah.
You know, trail cameras kind of kill the Bigfoot thing.
My theory is that they're a water-based animal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they do come on land a little bit, but swim enjoy their time in the water.
Amphibious.
I watched, there's sure. that kind of goes back to some type of a Godzilla movie that I mm-hmm. watched one time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like there was... Like a Godzilla versus the Yeti or something, and then like the Yeti spent some time down around the water, and some of its DNA got lost in the water, and then it replicated itself somehow. Very unique form of reproduction.
It's interesting.
Sounds like no biologist ever heard of.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Big Bang Theory to me.
Yeah, it pretty much is. It was like
makes about much sense.
There was a aquatic Yeti. It's pretty cool. But
we think we've only explored what like 10% of the world's oceans.
Yeah, but that would require.
I've explored
a Bigfoot
about none
to
of
be
it.
A very non-pressure sensitive critter because all that 90% is all the stuff that's you know mm-hmm. below 1,000 feet deep or whatever.
Since they're in the water, would they be big fins?
That's a good question.
Mm.
Mm.
Maybe big flippers.
Maybe that's where the
big
merman.
Flippers, there you go.
Yeah.
Flippers and feets. Don't get them pluralized.
Yeah. Imagine being like a couple miles off coast, you know, deep sea fishing, and you see something that's like 8-9 feet long, really hairy, about the size of a person, mm-hmm. just swimming along.
So one of the actually most interesting facts that has been brought up was that if Bigfoots were real, could they help us manage
wild hog population
and wild hog populations?
Yep. They already do.
They don't even mean.
Why do you think that the hogs haven't taken over yet? It's all because of the feet.
What have they not taken over? Asphalt? Pavement? You mean
Kansas.
The world?
Yeah, the world.
You're talking about the world. I thought you were talking about East Texas. What have they not conquered here?
No,
I've seen them in the schoolyard.
The reason is, like, Hunter, here's the problem. If y'all were managing better for the Bigfeets,
we wouldn't have the hog problem
we have here. But because Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks is doing a much better job of managing for Bigfeet, they don't have a hog problem.
You know, I don't want to speak on behalf of the entire state of Kansas, but I'm going to and say I think we do a better job in East Texas.
Well,
We all
you know we're all private landowners to some extent. That's all true. Of us need to
step up, do our part.
Yeah, okay, well, so then what's the first of all?
I think we need to go to a state agency and get confirmation.
Is the state going to actually do something about this?
I don't know. Although I feel like if they opened a season like Oklahoma mm-hmm. did,
yep. Oklahoma was first in a lot of things.
I would think it would be around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tiger King.
Yeah.
Alcoholism.
Yeah. Nothing.
Casinos.
They can be first in Tiger King because there will never be that again. Like, what's going to top that?
First and only.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, what were we talking about?
So the state is the state actually seriously considering any of this?
Oh yes, we're talking about. You know, I'm thinking season would be around hunting season.
When, is that
you
know, SZN?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Season. When's their mating season?
When
are they spawning?
I don't know when they spawn. But I'm thinking the rut is going to be around that October, November. Now, I could see a very successful
season. Oh, no way, dude. Because I've been out in the woods a lot in those times. It has to be sometimes. Really? Not standard.
Have you spent a lot of time in the woods during that time of the year?
I know. Well, here's the thing. They're invasive, I'm assuming. There's, you know, okay.
If they're the original creatures on Earth,
can you hunt at night?
You spotlight them?
I'm thinking I could have a very good season hunting Bigfoot if we had a season October 31st.
Hmm.
That night.
I'm just saying
somebody in Austin is considering that we should do something about these emails that we're getting, and we should actually manage habitat. There has to be, doesn't there? Isn't somebody down there doing that? What do you think?
I don't know.
You can't speak to
it. I'm glad it's not my job.
There's plenty of people in Austin who are considering Bigfoot.
I feel like somebody in the department, though, is like, yeah. In some way.
I'm glad it's not my job.
It is.
Mm.
Is that your Bigfoot shirt?
No, it's my Harambe shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I would say Harambe.
I thought it was Hombre.
Hombre.
My brother.
Hombre. How many of y'all watch Friends?
I mean, looks like my Hombre.
Yeah, he does look like Hombre.
Hombre.
1999, 2016.
Cologne. Hombre.
Never forget, man.
Do you know that Harambe is born in 99?
I think so. I didn't fact check the t-shirt, yeah. But it's like a play on the Tupac. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Tupac. He was a rapper back in the 90s.
Yeah.
He wore a blue bandana similar to this.
But he's not dead.
Well, he lives on.
He's
right?
a lot like Bigfoot.
And a lot like Harambe. Yeah. He's not dead either, man. He lives on.
Yeah, I hear you.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Personification.
Well, as you can't tell, we all got to know each other real well and have become the greatest of friends, right? So we were talking with Daniel at the hog event some about, you know, coming back down and doing some hanging out. And we all plan on doing some turkey hunting this year. So late March was really the only time that we could do a fishing trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, man, it's not the greatest time of year to catch, like, numbers of fish, but if you want to catch a big bass – it's a good time to come down.
Yep.
And the first day, instead of bass fishing, we completely did something different, and that is mechanic on boats all day. So,
yep. A little wrenching.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did some live scoping for crappie, too.
We did. At the end of the day, it kind of thinks that Tyler had baseball practice, so we actually had room in the boat to go get on there. And Hunter deckhanded for us.
Mm-hmm. Great
deck
job.
Deckhand for you while you were on the boat?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Deckhand.
Okay. He did.
Yeah,
he was real close. He did a good job. I think I don't want to crack on him too bad, but he did a good job of losing fish when I was on there.
That was real nice of him.
he caught a big one. Was it 1.9? Something like that, 1.91 that he caught.
Was it? Did y'all weigh it?
Yeah.
I think that was the first one that we weighed in the first one I landed that morning.
We didn't. I don't know that we weighed another one, did we?
I don't think so. We caught bigger ones than that.
I think there was for sure a couple that were right in
two
there.
Two that like were bigger, five, but we never weighed
half.
Them.
Five and a half inches, pounds.
Why did y'all decide to weigh a fish?
See what we're
going to see if it's two.
I got you.
I think two's like the mark for Dylan, kind of, right? Mm-hmm. That's when he's like, okay, this is a serious fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that riding around with Dylan, there's some times whenever like he saw a certain fish on the scope and he's like,
oh, yeah.
He chased it around for a little
bit. Oh, yeah. He got real excited about some of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a new thing for me. New thing for Daniel.
Yeah. I never live scoped before.
It's insane, dude. I didn't.
Hunter's been around it some.
Yeah.
So, Hunter, explain it to those who don't know.
It's basically a sonogram.
With
you know,
chip.
It's got some chips you can put in there, get different versions.
Yeah.
It's a sonogram. You know, really?
You mean like when you go look at an embryo?
When you go look at a baby.
Like a baby.
Belly. Yep.
And they're like, sex
it's
child.
Your baby. You know, like Jerry Springer. That's
paternity test kind of thing.
Yep, definitely. You can look at, of course, the baby, you know, when you're looking at a baby on sonogram, it's not.
Have you looked at babies on sonograms?
No, never.
I didn't think
Not yet.
I've seen pictures like in science books. It's not, you know, 30 foot away. It's a clear picture. This, you've kind of got to have a trained eye for it, and Dylan really does that well.
Yeah, he does.
Picking stuff up on – because the fish can lay flat on a stick, but the sonogram is going to pick up the harder texture of that, the scales of that fish, and throw a brighter light on that fish than the stick. So Dylan's eyes trained to pick up that, or even just a flicker of a tail. I haven't been around it enough to use or to know it that well, so I was very thankful to pick up some stuff from him.
Yeah, he would like. He would say there's a fish in that tree right there. He's showing like a split tree or whatever. Yeah. And he would kind of adjust it around a little bit, and all of a sudden it would just light up. You could kind of see it was just like the stick was right there, but it was also real hot in one spot, you know. It's pretty cool.
He figured out, too, that gar bounced harder than crappie.
They shine brighter and they shimmer a little bit more.
Yeah. Because they're hard scales. Or
I guess so.
It's weird.
That thick scale.
Yeah. It was super cool, though, man. It's like... I was blown away. I was videoing the whole time, pretty much. But one time, after we had a bunch of them on video already, I just held the camera, kind of framed it up, and then stopped paying attention. I looked down at the screen to watch what they were doing. And, like, you literally could see the fish, like, turn its body and go up. And I was like, that is wild, man. It's
crazy, man.
And you could tell, like, you pretty much knew when you're about to get bit, you know. It's crazy.
And the way the rigs we were running, you could actually see the fish bite. So it wasn't, like, a clear picture like you'd see in a television. So, you know, you got a picture, basically a pixelated black and white, no straight line image, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
But you could see the movement of the fish in your lure. You could basically see him bite it.
Well, I think the big difference, because I've seen like the a little bit older sonogram stuff, and like your grandfather had on his boat today, like you see like the slashes. And it's not that, because that's like, okay, there's something down there moving. This was a lot more like real time. You could tell it's a fish, you know, especially as you get closer.
So between just a regular sonar. And what you get now with like side imaging and down imaging, it's a good mix of both.
I'd agree.
Yeah, that's that's basically what you're going to be looking at.
Yeah.
When are they going to say no more? Is that going to ever happen?
I think so.
I think so too.
My dude, it's almost cheating, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I'll tell you this.
If you can't use a drone to hunt elk in Colorado, I don't see why.
Probably can't live scope in Colorado.
Yeah.
Probably can't.
Probably not.
I mean, but, I just think it's going to go.
I'll tell you this. It didn't feel as dirty doing it as I thought it would.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to it. For a guy that hasn't used it, especially.
It ain't a guaranteed deal either.
No.
Like, we saw a whole lot of fish that you couldn't catch. And I always, like, in my mind, thought it was like, oh, well, you just find a fish and catch it.
But here's my deal is we literally were in 8 to 10 foot of water yesterday the whole time, just out in the middle. On a flat, there's no like particular reason necessarily. I mean, the crappie are there, but so are other fish. There's no reason that like, but there's no way to target those fish outside of having that. Really, you know what I mean? Like, you're out of luck. If you'd have sat there and put jigs down by the trees that you could see all day, you'd ended up with like 3 or 4
depressing.
Fish. Yeah.
How many trees though did we see that we fished?
Oh, like above water. A ton of them were underwater.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 90% of what we fished was underwater. The tops were broken off. You couldn't see them. So, I mean, you had no reference point. You had, like, normally if we were out there, we'd just go up to that tree that was standing above water and throw at it.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that Casey and I talked about. Like, it's funny because, like, you fish, you know, before, like, I use this thing, you know, you find trees, find structure, and you're, okay, I'm trying to jig, see if something's there, spend a little bit of time, then move on, right? And, like, on that, using that live scope, you realize, how many trees don't have anything on there? With the live scope, you're like, okay, I'm not going to keep moving. Like, no point in throwing anything around it. So now, like today, when we were fishing without it, you're like, there's probably nothing down there.
Yeah.
You're
just like, it really is depressing.
It's almost futile, man. Because you're just like,
because honestly, I've always thought the inverse. I've always thought, like, oh, there's like 4 crappie on every tree, but you just can't make them bite. No, that's not the case. If a crappie's there, it's going to eat your lure, most likely. And whenever there's nothing eating it, there's nothing there.
It's crazy.
If there's a crappie there, more than likely they're going to bite. Crappie are
they're
more
machines, man.
More than bass.
And one of the cool things, too, about the live scope is, like, you go, okay, we're in 10 feet of water. They're sitting at 7. Okay, that one just moved down to the bottom. And you could just go right down to it, right up. It wasn't like, well, dude, let's fish at 6 feet today or whatever.
That's a big deal to me, too. It's like, how many times when you're just fishing and you don't have that, are you just going to the bottom and reeling up a little bit? You know, like, you're just not effective.
You know
at
what
that
makes
point.
That blew my mind is that we actually do have days where we sack them up. Dude.
So could you imagine what the
Live scope
would look like if you had that?
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
it has to just look like a big blur of fire down there. Yeah, the fish have to be stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you would realize, it makes you realize, like, on those days, how good of days you were actually having without live scope. So, like, pre-live scope days, and, you know, you're like, well, that was, you know, well, we caught a few, you know, 25 catfish or 20 crappie or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that was really good.
Yeah. Now, there was a crappie tournament this weekend, so this might be skewed, but Daniel and I remarked at how many people we saw live scoping. I mean, it was over half the boats that we saw were live scoping. And it's like, maybe it is because there's a crappie tournament, or maybe it's becoming that popular.
Well, and some of the boats that weren't live scoping, they still had live scopes on them. Like, the guys bass fishing. Like, and I've started, like, I've heard about it being a lot more popular. Like, it's cool, man.
Yeah. You heard the you heard about the guy from Ivy, right?
Those live scoping. Scoped those big bass.
That's what I've understood. So we've had, I don't know if you have heard, but, like, there's a lake in West Texas that they've caught, like, I don't know, probably like seven.
It's the one that everyone should go to.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely should go there. There's no bass and four. They've caught like seven lunkers, which a lunker in Texas is 13 pounds. And so they've caught like seven this year. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to break the record, which I think Fork had like 27 one year.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, but anyway, the guy, apparently one of the guys, I think this is all stuff that I've heard. I have not read this, but there was a guy that's caught like two of them this year. And he's like, he's figured out how to tell what a bass and a big bass looks like on the live scope. Huh. And he just said he just pitches at it over and over and over again until it bites.
So it's kind of like when it's on, like we were talking about today, like when you could see him on the bed and when the water's clear, same thing.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, okay, I'm going to try to harass it. And
that's the thing is, like, how many times are you just fishing down the bank and your bait goes in front of a 13 pounder? On Lake Fork, you know, that happens. Not on every lake, but like, and you just, well, he would have bit if you'd have thrown 10 times at that same stump that he's sitting on, or she's sitting on.
My granddad remarked that today.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, how many times we throw it in front of one and didn't hit?
I think about it all the time, dude. Yeah. I mean, it happens. Those you big know, fish especially.
When you get that intuition, like when you spent time on the lake, you have this intuition of like, this is a big fish spot. And I would almost bet that when you do feel that, it really is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a big fish around. Not because you can feel that fish, but, like, you know what big fish habitat looks like with depths and, you know, structure and stuff.
But how do you get that?
It's time on the lake.
Time on the lake and catching big fish in those spots. So, like, most of the time, your gut feeling is correct.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
any animal, right? Turkeys, big deer. Like, you can get to a spot and there'll be subtle differences that, like, okay, this is quality big deer habitat, quality nice turkey habitat. And how many times you don't hear a gobble, you know there's birds there. Like, you know for sure. Same thing, like, don't see a big deer, but you know they're there.
I believe you, though.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Casey and I have a mutual friend that's, like, killed a ton of big bucks. He's got them hanging all in his house. And, like, he really would probably have a hard time explaining a lot of times why he shot those deer. But, dude, he is the guttiest guy you've ever met. I mean, like, he can get in front of a deer. Yep. He just can't really tell you why. It's like one of them things. And we talk about this a lot on our podcast, is like, because we do a lot of deer talk. But there are guys out there that are, quote-unquote, like, experts in the whitetail woods. And they can't hardly explain on some of these podcasts why. It's subconscious. They can't. It's such an experience and a subconscious, like, gut-feeling thing. And it's weird. And, honestly, they probably shouldn't be on a podcast explaining it. You know what I mean? They should just keep killing deer, you know?
You know, you think about it, like, not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's an explainer. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people that are extremely good at things that necessarily can't teach it. You know, and some of it, too, like, and that's one reason I started my podcast is because I meet a lot of these people. And I'm like, man, I just want to sit here and talk with you, spend time with you, like, walk around with you in the woods so I can try to pick some of it up, right? And I've met a lot of people like that. Like, they can't explain why. But if you spend enough time with him, you can pick up, you shorten your learning curve, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, so, for sure, man.
Mm-hmm. He said, did you see the hand reference? He said, we walk around in the woods.
That's right.
Everybody deserted us.
That word.
In the ice.
Yep. And it was like -10, -15 degrees.
That was a Toyota Tacoma bed with a bed cover.
Did y'all get in the bed?
No, we couldn't. We couldn't fit. We would have if we could have fit.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Yeah.
But
the dog opened
the storage boxes, which were sweet.
Oh.
Unless you're trying to
not die.
Get some company back there.
You didn't want to hop up in there like a casket or something?
I wanted to. It was freezing
cold. We both talked about it. I said, if I wasn't here, would you get up there? He goes, I'd be in there right now cuddling that dog. It's like, me too.
Y'all were there forever.
One of us could have fit, but the other one couldn't. Yeah. We were like, we don't want to be the one who leaves that guy outside.
Yeah. Man, y'all are kind people. Man,
well, so what it was, he was sitting on the side that you could have slid into, and he was like, man, I shouldn't have felt right sliding in there. And I'm like, huh. I'm thinking, if you get up, man, I'd slide in there.
You should have taken turns, guys.
Yeah. Well, the worst part about it was, too, I'd ridden with Brian, so I had my heavy duck gear inside the cab. Mm. I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't get to it.
Thanks, Brian.
How many more minutes would it have taken for you to break a window?
Like 60 minutes. Like we were
an hour? Like within maybe an hour, you'd have broken a window.
I probably would have cuddled Hunter before that, mm-hmm. but...
Part of the element.
Was
he wants to join the element, doesn't he?
For sure.
Name
I heard
too.
What it takes, man. You know, I'm just trying to.
for sure.
Well, what happened too is like we got out of the woods, and it was like, okay, I can see the truck way off over there.
Oh my
god! And me and Hunter were like.
Do you want the truck?
Yeah, we're like, do you want to go back in? And then we heard you guys shoot, and I'm like, man, they're gonna be in there for a while.
We're going to the truck.
We're going to the truck. Well, we even saw. I think it was Brian. We're walking on the road, and we see someone, like, 300 yards ahead of us in orange, like, duck into the woods, like, far from where you got, half a mile.
It might have been Chris, because he was lost still at the time.
He was getting it, too, man. He was ahead of y'all. It probably was Chris.
Well, and what was funny is, like, he's like, oh, it must have been another hunter. I go, there's no one else out here besides us crazy dudes, you know.
Half inch of ice. We're like, man, that's the truck over there. But the road zags in the wrong zig.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And so you've got a zig for about 2 miles when you can see it at a mile and a quarter.
And it was a gravel road that was iced over.
We were
sliding all over the place walking on that thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Needed some cleats.
Yep, for
glad
sure.
Glad that's over. I'm glad we spring and sprung around
in fact,
now.
When they started shooting, you just sat down on the ice.
I did.
Yeah.
Did
I mean,
you?
Gravity took...
It was a swift sit down.
Yeah, very fast.
That I didn't plan on happening.
Oh, you didn't.
No. The SSD.
Mm-hmm. But he was like, I'm just going to sit here and listen, for a while. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it's like one of those. It's
put
like
his ear to the ground. It's like Kansas Buffalo Trace.
That's right. I was just seeing how many hogs there were. I was like, three. Now there's 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the ground. Yeah.
I slipped and fell and kind of. And he just grabbed me by the shirts, by the scuff right here, and just picked me up. He said, come on, youngin'.
Come me, son. I'm going to let you die.
Well, speaking of hogs, you caught your biggest bass ever today, man.
I did, man. Yeah. 6-pounder.
Yeah.
So,
it was a toad, dude.
It was, man. That was cool. And like I said, when we talked of the hog hunt, you were like, hey, you want to come down and catch some 10-pound bass? I said, absolutely.
Did I say 10-pound bass?
Yeah. I was like, sorry. You happy a 10-pound bass? Me one. I told you it was funny. I have a good friend of mine, we call him D Money. He's on the podcast with me a little bit, and he's from Arkansas. He's an avid fisherman. So I hadn't heard about Lake Fork. I text him, and I'm like, hey, man, have you ever heard of this place in Texas called Lake Fork? And he like calls me, and he's like, my hands are shaking. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, Lake Fork's like one of the top lakes in the country, dude. He's like top three, top four. He's like, you got to train to fish that lake. He's like, dude, he was laying on thick, man.
Yeah.
And I was funny. Like, really? Like, I'm like, do you just use, like worms there? And he's like, oh my gosh, man. I was going to bring a worm bobber with me. Is that good?
Yeah.
No. Tell him you threw live bait on a catfish pole out of a John boat.
I did. Yeah. Well, I just want to say, man, they use to catch bass in here, they use catfish poles.
Yeah.
And we fished catfish together, and we caught a couple 40-pound blue cats out in South Carolina. I mean, so like, we're very used to big tackle, and I remember getting the boat. I'm like, we're really used. It is a catfish rod with a catfish reel on it, mm-hmm. like, and we threw what was salty black and salty
black salties,
yeah, big goldfish, kind of
like
man.
A halibut goldfish thing.
Yep,
yeah.
The bass liked those, and so did that catfish I caught, man. So
yeah.
Little 4-pound catfish.
Can't believe it. Catfish ate him a black salty.
He's hungry, man.
Yeah. Dude, Pop. So I was looking at something else. I think I was working a jig or something, and he was like, "Hey, your rod just bent." And I'm like, I had the clicker on.
I did not believe
it. Because, the black salt, they pull a little bit,
Yeah.
So I thought maybe the line just went, tight or something. And he's like, no, I saw it bend. I'm like, it didn't click. I had a clicker on, so I'm like, okay, it must not have been that big. And then I look back, and the line would go slack and get tight. And I'm like, let me just try it. So I hand my rod to pop, and I picked it up, and there was catfish on the end of that thing, man. Like, there was, he was on there for 2 or 3 minutes, like, before
he
was
just swimming around with his mouth.
Yep, yep, so.
Crazy.
But,
yeah,
6-pounder, I was, we caught a 2-pounder earlier in the day. We had the other one broke off.
Okay, we've told this story a couple times.
Yep.
But it's such good fodder for this conversation. We have to tell it again.
Well, and I think, too, let's paint the picture. So yesterday, we had a great time, Casey, on the water. I caught that yellow bass, you know, and that was about it. We had some engine trouble. So I was very optimistic about today. I'm like, uh-huh. It's going to be a good day. So we get out. We're in the water about an hour, maybe 30 minutes. And you throw out that black salty, and I'm like, okay. And it starts clicking. You're like, man, grab it. So grab the rod. I go to set the hook, which I didn't understand. I set the hook wrong. Case, let me know that.
No. Very discreetly was suggesting maybe harder next time.
So I set the hook, and I go to reel, and then I feel the tension go slack. And I'm like, oh, man, it got off or something, spit it out. And so I was kind of like shaking my head and hand you the rod back. And you start reeling. No, it's still on there. And so you then set the hook and broke the line.
Yeah, so
it's called a Lake Fork hook set.
I learned that now, man.
And really, looking back, I probably shouldn't have popped it as hard. But man, when you grow up around here with 10-pound bass plus, it's like you're trying to jam that hook in a big old piece of bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in top lip, a
cinder block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's an action, which I saw yours. Yours is kind of like almost like the circle hook set.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. like you just kind of lean back into it.
Well, in my background, I do a lot of catfishing, so that's the hook set, right?
It works. Mm-hmm. And the standard bass set is like a pop, right? Mm-hmm. The Lake Fork set is the
step back.
Hyper,
you got to step back.
It uses the feet.
It's a step back.
See how you employ the feet.
Oh, you saw me. It's like,
I did. Yeah.
It's like, on the bait.
Dude, I'm telling you, you get like a 20-foot, like, you know, bass boat. The dudes are using the whole front deck to set the hook.
They make bigger decks on bass boats for Lake Fork.
Solely for that reason.
Solely for that.
I believe it.
I've seen a guy jump from the front deck to the back behind the seats.
Is there a footworks like YouTube video I go watch? You guys made one of these about how to properly
push feet.
Maybe
we need to put that on the channel.
That's good,
for sure.
Idea. Yeah. I like that a lot. Lake Fork.
Put me in the comments as a credit.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, God's... I told you this earlier, but God likes to sometimes teach us lessons over a long period of time, and sometimes he gives us 5 seconds to say, hey, be more humble, sir. Don't tell Daniel he did a bad job on the hook set. It's going to make you break your line right now. Anyways, the next go-around, you performed flawlessly. Mm-hmm. It was the perfect hook set.
Yep, pulling a nice 2-pound bass.
Yeah.
And that was my first Lake Fork bass. So, and I kind of told you earlier, one of them, I like killing ducks at Real Foot Lake. I like hunting pheasants in South Dakota. I like killing elk in Colorado. Like, my mind's like, I want to go to the coolest place, the best place to do that thing. I'm going to do it. And so my mind's like, Lake Fork, that's some of the best bass in the country. So I felt really blessed with that 2-pound bass.
How is your
man.
Time machine?
What
is
do you mean?
Is it fully functional? Because if you could go back to 93, now you're talking, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Lake Fork is still one of the best places for sure. Yeah. You know, I love it, man. It's still... I don't talk about it a lot. It's not what it used to be, but it's still.
I mean, the pros came. You know, they come do the Toyota Texas Bass Classic and stuff like that. And I think, I don't know, it was 5-7 years ago. I mean, they broke. I might have broken the record a couple times out here, but they broke the five fish
and the 4-day and a couple different things.
Well, this is how I know it's a big bass lake, and you guys are big bass fishermen. So I pulled that 6-pounder in, which like. We took pictures, you know, you're like, hey, man, that's awesome. That's my personal best. So, like, I was pretty stoked about it. But it was like, took a couple pictures, okay, put it back. Like, any other lake or most of the lakes we fish, they'd be, oh my gosh, man, everybody would jazz, taking a ton of pictures. Your buddy's going to take pictures of the bass, you know, claim it as their own, you know, like, and you're just like, yeah, man, okay. Let's put it back.
My dad's got a funny story.
I tried to be hype. We gave him a fist bump.
You did. No, it was cool, but it was just so funny because I'm like, man, this is like a.
That's not
a big bass to them,
My dad tells a story where he had like some cousins or something come down, like kind of their family or whatever, you know, and he was going to take them all out fishing on Lake Fork for bass, you know. And he said they're all, you know, in the boat or whatever, working down this bank, and my dad is casting and hooks a fish and pulls it in. He says it's a solid 5-pounder. He said he just unhooks it and throws it back in real quick. He said everybody in the boat was dead silent, like,
what did you just do?
Yep.
Like, they could not believe that he just threw that sucker back without taking a picture
and
or something.
And that's the thing is, like where I come from, you pull a 4 or 5 pound bass, like, you're taking some time, you know, think about that, you're going to live stream it, you know, send to your mom, like, tell your wife, hey, we need it. Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, pull a 6 pound bass, and you're like, man, it's cool. Like, do you want some pictures? Like,
It's crazy, dude. Yeah. I mean, we think it's a cool, it's a good fish, you know. Like, if we catch 6 pounder when it's just me and him, we're stoked, you know. Sure. But he goes back in the water pretty quick, you know. We'll take a cell phone picture, just post social or whatever.
To be honest, I really try to be pretty conscious about keeping fish in the water and getting them back pretty quick.
Yeah,
anyways.
You are, man, for sure.
Not because I'm just like always Mr. Conservation, you know, which I do care about that stuff, but like. Man, so many fish on the lake die from mishandling.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I care about the resource more than the individual fish. Like, I'll knock that fish in the head and eat it. You know,
well, that's the thing. But, is like, we have a tournament every weekend. Yeah. I mean, there's like a bass fishing tournament like every weekend on the lake, you know? And whether it's a working man's or it's like a big one or whatever.
We know a guy who's a old pro. He was on, he fished the Classic a few times, you know, was on the tour. Really intelligent guy, kind of like a you know, redneck intelligent type.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's done a lot of, you know, his own personal studies on stuff, and he believes that if a fish is ever caught in its lifetime, there's no way that fish gets over like the 10 pound mark. Has he told you that stuff before?
I've heard him say that he thinks about 50% of the fish that are caught and released die.
Yeah, I've
heard him say that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you take that mucus layer off, they're toast, that slime layer.
Plus, but the thing is, like, man, dudes will just, they just holding that fish, drop it, flops around the carpet, man, in the boat.
I try so hard to keep it off the carpet.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Richard says that, like, fish that get caught, it stunts their growth indefinitely.
Really?
So, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you just know what tailing gloves are?
Yeah.
It's like that's, I don't use tailing gloves for that reason, because I think it's just further. Like, especially big trout and stuff you're going to release, like, it doesn't do anything good. You know, it helps you hold on the fish, but that just tears those things up, man.
Yeah.
I just always think, I mean, this is such, like, basic, you hear this too a lot, it's kind of cliche, but, like, I just think, like, if I was not breathing right now, how would I feel? You know what I mean? So, like, I keep that, like, when we do pictures of, if we catch a good bass on the lake or something, I mean, you got a good handle. You got a big old mouth to handle. Mm-hmm. So just stick that sucker in the water and hold on tight until the camera's ready. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard, you know? Good. And then when he's ready, just get it up, take a picture, and in literally 4 seconds, it's back in the water. And if you need to take more pictures, just hold it back in there.
Yeah. Well, that's like, we did that a couple times today, you know, because, like, get the camera ready and everything, and, like, your case, like, hey, put it back in the water, like, give it a drink, you know, and that's how those things don't die, you know. And I think another thing to think about, too, is, like, again, like, basic stuff, but when I first started fishing, I'd always hold the fish vertical. And so, you know, its organ's not meant to sit that way, right? You know, it sits horizontal in the water. And so that's one thing my wife told me. My wife's a biologist. And so, like, when I handle fish, take pictures, I always try to hold it, you know, horizontal, so it's not banging its organs around in there and stuff. But
yeah.
So the what kind of biologist?
Environmental science. She is especially
biologist.
Herpetology is like her area of research. So that was amphibians, reptiles.
Cool. Yeah.
So,
that's my favorite exhibit at these zoos is the herpetology, man.
Man, I don't hate snakes, but she'll handle them. Like, I saw her jump out of a canoe on like a trip and grab a northern water snake out of the water to show people that snakes aren't bad. It bit her and then started musking on her. She's like, it's not scary.
The musking
is
the worst part. I'm fine with the biting, but the musking is not.
I was like,
I'm not fine with any of that.
No, I'm not either. I'm like, that's cool that snake stays over there, man. That's all I got, man.
I think I'd rather be musking.
We'd be cool. I'm all about that, man.
I'm good.
Oh, man. So, that's gives me the herpy jerseys.
Oh, podcast title right there. Herpy jerseys.
The herpy jerseys.
That is funny, dude. So
what does she do with that?
So actually right now she's in med school. But she was a naturalist in the Missouri Department of Conservation for 4 years. And then I convinced her to move to Kansas City because I got married. I'm awesome to her. And,
to her, though, yeah.
To her, yeah. Issues. Not someone else, yeah. Okay. No. That's probably the me being awesome part. But no, she really enjoyed it. But she, and anyone listening to this that has ever done anything in like biology, is, you know, you get that bachelor's degree and to make any sort of living or any longevity, you have to get a master's degree, and then you kind of get out of the field, right? Mm-hmm. And so she enjoyed the field biology, but she did not want to take that next step up. And so she kind of looked at some other options and started working in a hospital and really enjoyed it. And so she loves the outdoors, loves wildlife. So.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. My wife tricked me pretty hard.
Yep.
Yeah, she was supposed to be a doctor. Yep.
Yeah, mine's in med school.
She teaches at one of the worst paying schools in Texas. So.
Yeah, with the things do for love, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. No, she loves what she does, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
and she would have loved being a doctor too, but she kind of got coaching in her blood. So
yep,
that's what she does. But anyway,
yeah.
What do you think?
I think that Daniel got a mess of fish.
I did, out man. Of
the deal. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Are you taking some crappie home?
I am, very excited about that, man.
We talked about like what the goals were for the weekend, you know, when he kind of first got here. And it was, his wife made him take a cooler down. So that's a pretty good indication of what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a whole gallon baggie of crappie and a bar fish.
That's right. Yeah. Yellow bass.
Yellow bass.
They're good. For those they're tasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I told him. I was like, man. Whenever you fry those up, you're not going to be able to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. They're real good. I told him, too. I was like, man.
It's Hunter's favorite fish.
I think that you can there's definitely a difference in all fishes, but I think that people really exaggerated a whole bunch. Like, most fish, freshwater fish, taste pretty close to the same, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just people kind of like to hate on stuff just because it's fun to talk about something sometimes.
Yeah.
But also, like, we have a 4-pound catfish to clean outside after we get off the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then... got your biggest bass caught. So we really accomplished everything we were trying to this weekend.
Yeah, and got a podcast recorded, man.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to send you home with a hog ham, I think.
That's right, man.
Yeah. And a fig tree.
And a fig tree.
Golly, man.
Dude, I made out good on this this little trip here.
Just taking some non-natives across state lines. I know, that's going to be a federal offense right there.
USDA, we leave us alone.
I ain't going to tell my wife about it yet, you know.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Shoot.
If you're heading back to Kansas and get in Oklahoma and the legislation allows it, you see a Bigfoot.
Yes.
You're going to take him?
Yeah, you shoot them in the barbage?
I'd probably use a compound bow. I think it's a little unethical to shoot them with a rifle.
Oh, too easy.
What about a horizontal bow?
Do they offer non-resident tags?
Man, I think they do offer non-resident tags, but I don't know if there's a draw system yet. Just got it introduced this year, so I haven't...
What if you hit one?
Does anyone have points built up for the Oklahoma Bigfoot?
That first year, no points. Everybody's on the same playing board.
Oh, no point creep. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool. My next question is, what are you, you know, as a guy who cooked us a good meal today, how are you going to cook a Bigfoot?
I like the shanks on most animals.
Okay.
I'm going to start there, man. Make some osso buco.
Big calves on that you know.
Yeah,
at least the ones you've seen, right?
I say, well, and I do want to mention, you know, I like to eat animals, so to eat animals, you kind of have to kill them. Mm-hmm. You know, and Hunter and I talked about this, that, you know, every violent interaction people have had with Bigfoot, it's always been escaped by the person. You know, most times them trying to shoot them, trying to mess with the Bigfoot. So keep that in mind. You know, they're not necessarily dangerous creatures. It's like an elephant, right? An elephant can hurt you, but it's not really going to hurt you unless you poke it, you know, in the eye. Yeah. So. Yeah. I definitely want to kill it ethically, for sure. My guess would be the meat's not going to taste good if he runs for a little bit and I have to go track him. But, or her.
Adrenaline rush. You know?
Yeah.
What caliber would you use on a Bigfoot?
The biggest.
Yes.
Because
you wanted to drop.
I want a cookie.
Don't want mine.
With the shot. When I shoot it, I want it cooked.
Do not want to eat
it. He's like 7mm and up, man.
He's going to clean it when it's done.
Let me ask you this. Are the people that have been emailing you going to come after you shoot a Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah, I'd have to move.
Yeah.
Would you go public with you or the one who shot a Bigfoot?
I would go anonymously, I think so.
Kind of like if you won the lottery, you like win it, but now I'm not going to tell everybody.
I think there's a big enough crowd out there that.
But how would you mount it?
You could monetize that thing if you went public with it, though, with your name and everything.
You could, dude, a Euro mount would be pretty cool. Because it looks like a dude head, except it's not real
to be
big.
To confused with a dude head.
not a dude head.
Two different things. But what about, like, you know, a polar bear mount or like a brown bear mount? You know, it's just standing there.
Yeah, on a little box.
Behind your couch.
Yeah.
Holding a donut.
Kylie, you talk about walking in the dark or not.
Put an ammo belt on him and look like a Wookiee. You know?
In college, we had this cutout of John Wayne that we would stick in different rooms and stuff in the dark and just freak people out.
It'll get you, right?
Yeah.
We had a Wookiee. We had a Wookiee cut out.
I was C-3PO.
Yeah.
Same thing.
We also recently...
I can tell you all didn't go to A&M like I did, for sure.
In my parents' house recently, there was this We were staying in this little extra room, and this the room across the hall had the doors open, and there's a recliner in there. They had a blanket like strewn across this recliner, like it's almost like the size of a person sitting in this recliner. And every time I walk by, I'd be like, turn real quick, you know, like, oh, scare me. I feel like a person was sitting in that chair, you know. It's like, there ain't supposed to be anybody here.
Scary stuff, man.
That is, dude. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty excited that, you know, get to go do this thing. And I think we're going to probably hang out a little bit more in May.
Hoping so, man.
Talking
yeah.
About. Yeah, do a little turkey hunting.
Yeah.
We got a big turkey hunt playing a couple different directions.
Are we going to eat turkey on that trip?
Maybe. Yeah. We can make that happen, yeah, for sure. So I have a turkey breakfast sausage recipe that's really, really good. So I use the leg meat. A lot of people will just breast out birds, and I think that's a sin. So,
dude, I love
turkey. Me too. Yeah. I know. It sounds like such a just meat eater thing to say, you know what I mean, to be honest. But, like, they really are good, man.
Yeah. Well, and like the stock, I made the polenta with last night. A lot of that, you know, I made that with turkey carcasses, like the bone stuff. And, dude, it's... Again, I'm not like super granola-y and everything. Like, you know, I.
What about polenta-y? Are you that?
Pretty polenta-y. Okay. I'm pretty down for that. Yeah. And, you know, I wear Keen's drive a Subaru, you know?
Yeah,
it isn't too much. But, dude, I think you're missing. Yeah, Hunter Chad, just make sure I was wearing Keen's. Yeah. Well, when me and Hunter got, you know.
I saw him yesterday when you had him propped up.
That's
wind
right.
Wind was blowing through him. 60 miles an hour.
It was nice. It was not, when I got real sunburned.
When you got real sunburned.
Oh, gosh, man.
And then today he got real on top of real.
Yeah. Well, I got my base burned yesterday. You know, I did like that your grandfather offered me some, like, 20-year-old sunscreen that was in the boat.
At best.
About 20 minutes before we were done.
Yeah.
We're, like, putting the rods up, you know, like, let's head back to the marina. You need some sunscreen, man? Like, I got some right here. I'm good.
If I get in an old fishing boat that does not have at least 10-year-old, 10-year-old sunscreen.
It ain't good fishing.
Some
boat.
Old sunglasses. Some old sunglasses. Yeah. A worn-out hat. And some stuff like that. It's not a good
it's
fishing
not a good
boat.
It's he not, hasn't spent much time on the water.
I'm telling Dylan, you said that.
No. That is an exception. He's got paper plates on it, you know. Man.
Yeah. By the way, we should probably talk about Redline Guide Service real
for
quick.
Sure, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Our buddy Dylan is... Definitely got a cool boat. At least you should go ride around with it.
So, he can go real fast.
Dude, yeah, I'm talking, he's a cool dude. He's got great gear. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Did you see that?
Do that. You put that to the microphone, please.
Yeah, my face is blowing backwards.
I don't think we ever went real fast whenever we were in the boat. I don't know. I mean,
we got up to 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
On the way back.
Yeah, so we were
I bet
going
you that,
60.
That boat will top over 70 though, won't it?
We got real close. That you know that morning before y'all got there, late rising.
There was four of us in there.
When it was just me and Dylan, we were getting on it.
How fast 60 is though?
Oh, it's dude, like, yeah.
It's when you're
it. It's getting
20
it.
Inches above the water at that point.
Yeah. Everybody's going 60 in a encapsulated vehicle. Whenever you're out there in a piece of fiberglass and you've got what literally, I don't know, 80 square inches of metal touching the water, and that's about all it's touching.
Yeah,
it's pretty sketch.
Well, it's like, have you ever driven a motorcycle? You know, 56 miles or 7 miles an hour, or like a ski-doo. Mm-hmm. You know, like you understand, like that's a different. It's a different animal than being in a car doing that.
I ain't about that life on the jet ski thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like jet skis. Mm-hmm. I ain't into that, dude. It's too fast. They're too unstable. No thanks.
But, I mean, hey, that boat rode good.
Oh, it was really, really good.
Good driver. Safe.
Yeah, for
until
sure.
You turned the spoilers the wrong way on the way back.
Yeah, I did do that wrong.
That was the deckhand's fault. That
deckhand was
bad.
But other than that, he put us on some good fish all day long.
And I will say this. So he was professional. He had really, really good gear. He knew how to use his gear, and he cleaned fish super quick, man.
Yeah.
You know, he took really good care of us. You know, we were, you know, Hunter was his friend, so, I mean, he was a little bit nice to him, but...
Was.
Was his friend.
Was his friend.
But, no, I would definitely suggest that dude, man. He was he was a cool dude to hang out with.
It was cool stuff. And little did I know that he is the brother of a guy I go to church with, so... Didn't even know that.
Figured ringing endorsement right there, man.
No, I didn't figure it out. I mean, I'm just not... We talked about this. I'm not a Raines native.
Yeah.
So y'all have this, like... You know, telekinesis that I don't really understand. We're like, you all know who knows each other. I don't know.
But
you know,
I tell you, Dylan's a third generation fishing guy. You know, and his grandfather before him, his father, dude, still outfish every one of us.
Mm.
You know, it's just
without
tiny,
a live scope,
tiny town stuff without a live scope, without even a graph. And that dude don't
not even a hook.
Not even a hook. He doesn't run a graph, and I've never seen him bump a stump. I'm serious. He gets on fork without his graph.
Old bump.
Yeah, he's stump bumping. Yeah, stump bumper.
Don't miss the zag,
man.
When you need to zig.
It's like old Jim.
You know where
Taylor.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, you know, Jim Mack, he does a lot of catfish stuff, and they use Danny King's, right?
Oh, baby, Danny and, King's.
I guess that's what they use. They've used it, I guess, at some point. But they have the same type of bait, and they've got a stick that they use that was used by our friend Andrew's granddad. Yeah. So they have kept the stick. It's a wooden stick like that.
It's just a punch.
It ain't like a manufactured stick. It's like out of the woods, and they've been using the same stick for decades.
That's crazy, man.
But they get that nylon punch bait or whatever out of there and put it on a hook.
Legacy, man.
Legacy.
You know what? We have a legacy of falling in the boat.
So if you're new to us and maybe new to our YouTube channel too, or even an old-timed viewer, go check out our YouTube channel because we have got a lot of stuff coming out for the spring. We're going to be doing a lot of turkey hunting like we talked about with Daniel here. And then also, one of the big things in the public land game especially is saddle hunting these days. And in particular, we're going to have a lot of saddle content out there. And I don't mean the old horse type saddle. I'm talking about hanging from a tree diaper type saddle, all right? We're going to be doing all kinds of evaluations of different types of saddles and maybe talking about some tactics and even how to shoot deer from one, right? We actually did a little bit of that this season. I think, what was it, like 6 or 7 deer died from saddles last year at the hands of the Element crew. So be sure and go subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out what we've got going on over there.
Legacy, man.
Legacy.
You know what? We have a legacy of falling in the boat.
For the Smiths?
Yeah.
Really?
I fell in the boat today.
At least you didn't fall out of the boat.
I got close. I almost caught you, man. Appreciate I was, like, that. Looking at something else, and then you, like, came in my field of view. I was like, oh, hey, buddy.
Our friend Cody Beaver can get a phone out of his pocket quicker than anybody.
Go get the water.
Every time we hit a stump, that dude's got the phone out. He's like.
You know why? Because he's got 3,800 landowner contacts in that phone. Just sweet old ladies that he met and who knows where that he's always trying to just sweet
gotta
up to.
Got to send a Christmas text to or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's
for sure, man.
That's cool. Well, dude, thanks for coming down this weekend.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. Yeah. Seriously, it was a really, really good time.
Supper was bad at the bone.
Yeah,
Thank you, man.
And sharing the boat was fun, too, man. I'm glad that I could have you there to kind of run middleman between me and my granddad.
It was a great time. It was a good time. So I did like at the very end. So a lot of guys don't know. I don't drive boats very often.
Yeah.
And so I was outside the boat standing on the dock, kind of holding there, and he just got out and started walking away. And he's like, you can put it on the trailer, right? And I was like, I guess I'll find out how to do that.
Dude, you did a top-notch job.
Thank you.
I told my dad, I was like, I don't know if he ever does this, but he's doing good.
Yeah. I had to back way up. To get straight.
Yeah,
to get straight.
And just slow and steady. It helps. Mm-hmm. You did it on a good night where there wasn't a lot of wind.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And there wasn't like a stack behind me that people. Yeah.
That was one of the first things I learned to do, too.
It's one of the first levels of anxiety I ever had was, hey, because that's not just a new, like, 80-year-old pop thing. It's been that way since I was a little kid, like to throw you into the fire, you know? And 154 boat ramp, which is arguably the busiest boat ramp in the lake. He'd be like, back me in, boy. Oh, gosh. You know, I'm 10 years old. Yeah. Backing in a truck. It's a two-lane boat ramp, and I'm turning into a one. Everyone's mad.
Yeah,
it's fun.
We were talking about earlier. There's like a dock, really nice dock.
Yeah.
And so, like, we launched the boat, and you go park the truck. I walk out on the dock to get on the boat because I thought that's what you do.
Yeah.
Thought you launch the boat. And Pop pulls up to a rock right next to the boat ramp. And he, like, looks at me like, what are you doing over there? And so I walk over there. And I kind of, like, he's like, can you climb on? I was like, yeah. So I kind of climb over. And you do the same thing. You're, like, over on the dock, and you walk over there. And he has to reposition the boat around the dock to get you on the rock. And you're like, man, too bad they put that dang dock there. You'd be able to turn around easier.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. The dock's in the way. And Pop just kind of nods his head. Yeah. Like, yeah,
he's like, I've used this rock tons of times, man. It was a good rock.
There's been
some good Pop stories on the podcast.
It's a good time.
We had Casey's dad, Butch, which is literally, we've had more requests for him, I think, than any other guest we've ever had. After we had him on, though, we had a lot of Pop stories, man, and it seems like he ain't scared of much.
No, he's not. Man, I love him to death. He is getting older, you know, so you kind of got to watch out for him a little bit. And it's pretty cold this morning. It's probably 48, 50 when we hit the water, you know. The dude's got on a button-up shirt and an undershirt, But the button, it ain't even a flannel. I mean, it's
thin.
Thin.
That old 70s.
He's like, I got a jacket. No, you don't.
We sit on the boat, and you're like, man, where's your jacket? I got a jacket on. He's like, no, you just have that on. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, maybe you should wear a flannel, yeah?
Yep.
And by the time we got back to the truck tonight, he was like, how do you turn the heat on in the truck? He was going 80. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hot. But, I don't know. It's at that weird stage of like, I also don't want to give up my jacket to him, but probably the next time I'll have to give him my jacket. This time, we'll see if he learns a lesson. If not, if next time
I'll give him. Wow, he's 82 years old, Casey. So
you're admitting to trying to teach him a lesson.
Oh, man.
Trying.
Like him because he, about halfway through the day, he goes,
don't get me wrong.
He goes, when are you off work next? I said, what are you getting at? He goes, when can you come back down and fish with us? And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I like you, man.
Yeah.
So, good.
Yeah. People. He's always good willing people. To invite, man, for sure, especially if you will get up and do stuff for him. He's getting that point now where, like, he just kind of – he sat in that chair all day. He didn't really do much, but I'm glad he's out there.
Yeah, man. He enjoyed himself, I think. So, yeah. I mean, we were out there from, what, 9 to 7?
Oh, he missed a nap. He went home, went to bed. I guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
What would Pop have done if you handed him a Sika jacket and – would he have been real surprised at how warm it is?
And light?
He wouldn't even thought. He didn't know how sick it is, I bet you.
I'm just saying, like, what he had said, what he had mentioned, like, oh, that's a nice jacket.
Oh, my goodness, we haven't told the best story. So, we always have this thing about Pop hates artificial. Hates it. I think it's stupid. All right? And he hadn't caught a fish all day. He's been dabbing around this brush pile on this beaver lodge with his crappie minnow and his salty for probably 30 minutes. So I finally get up there with a jig. Because, I mean, y'all know, beaver lodges are where it's at.
Oh, no.
Right? I toss this thing right at the mouth of that beaver lodge. I feel it. Dun, 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 and then I hit it just a couple times. Dun, 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 and boom. I felt it. So set the hook. Jerk the fish up. It's a solid 2-pounder. Maybe even an under. Like a solid tournament fish, you know? And I pull it up and say, all right, about that artificial, and Pop just not even looking, says, skinny.
He's like, I don't even think you asked him about it. You pull it out, I mean, it's still on the line. He goes, oh, it looks a little skinny. Yeah.
That's it. That's boning the fish all
the time. And I think the best part about it, too, was we were like, kind of, there's like a log here. Casey's trying to position the boat so he can throw on the other side of this log. Pop's trying to get his into this little cove so he can stick his cane pole closer to the bank. So, and like, you're going, hey, I'm in this tree thing. And he's like, does not care. He's like, unhooked so I can get closer and throw his crappie jig in there. And I see he pulls that bass out and he's like, nah, skinny.
So good. Skinny.
Skinny. Oh, man. Well, yeah. Pop stores can go on and
I'm
on.
I'm going to use that one.
It's, yeah. Oh, it has become part of the nomenclature. We said skinny quite a few times today.
Yeah, that's a little skinny.
Oh, man. Yeah. But I think it's getting late enough to where we can shut this thing down and get some sleep. We got church in the morning. But
yeah, for sure.
Daniel, I'm glad we got to hang out, man.
It's my pleasure, man.
For people, you know, who are hearing you on our podcast the first time this time of work, can they figure out where you're at?
Yeah, so Hunt Fish Eat Podcast, the name of the podcast. On Instagram, Hunt Fish Eat Podcast. If you go to Apple, iTunes, Spotify, any of that, it's Hunt Fish Eat Podcast. Facebook, same thing, Hunt Fish Eat Podcast. So hunt-fish-eat.com is our website. But, yeah, I just got started about a year ago, and I like to hunt, fish, and eat. So,
man, it's very
really complicated.
Very basic. I like it. You know, you're based, as the kids say these days. So.
Very on brand.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Better than being basted.
Like turkeys, though.
Yeah. Do you have a signature sign-off that you normally do?
Catch on the flip-flop. That's what I usually say.
You say it a lot?
Mm-hmm. At the end of the podcast, kind of like that. So.
Okay. All right. So,
you wear flip-flops?
No.
No?
I'm not that kind of guy.
Me neither. I'm closed-toed,
or sandals.
Man.
Catch you on the sandals?
Catch you on the Keens, man.
Catch you on the Keens.
I've heard people call them Jerusalem cruisers because, you know, Jesus probably wore sandals. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it's because, like, the, like, yuppie Christians that go visit Jerusalem usually wear Keens when they go there.
That could be it, too. I don't know if it's pejorative, but,
Yeah.
Or people call them mandals.
Yeah.
Sandals.
It's very, very much like a SBC youth minister shoe. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. 100%, sure. Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hunter? Thanks for joining us on this thing, man.
Thanks for saving my life so I could be here on this podcast, man. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Well,
took you to the promised land.
Yeah.
With oatmeal pies.
Those things were frozen solid, dude.
We took them in my shirt for like 5 minutes.
Well, I'm about to eat one of these frozen sausages. So, guys, remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.